From the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Thursday, February 22nd, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things officially started with
the Daily Denogram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, wisdom will keep you from getting into situations where you need it. I like that. Unfortunately, wisdom occasionally takes time off.
Get used to disappointment.
Let's proceed now to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
Should be fun.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, yeah.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1881, Cleopatra's Needle, a 3,500-year-old ancient Egyptian obelisk, was erected in Central Park, New York, presumably because there are no pigeons in Egypt. And it was on this day in 1959, Lee Petty won the first Daytona 500. That's Lee Petty, not to be confused with Tom Petty. Lee Petty raced stock cars, and Tom Petty was a rock star.
We're like your biggest fans!
I've been saying for quite some time that our educational institutions, the state of our public schools is such that they're no longer education centers, they're indoctrination centers. And it leads to other problems, too. I mean, first of all, you graduate kids who, in some cases, are totally illiterate. In other cases, they're certainly not prepared to start minimum wage jobs. There's no discipline. Well, there's a problem with that that's rearing its ugly head. If you want to see where this is going to go in the future, should this remain the case across the country, the dire state of discipline and safety in our educational institutions on the public level, public schools, a Massachusetts high school has found itself at the epicenter of certainly a crisis. And it's Brockton High School. That's where boxer Rocky Marciano went to school. It's the largest in the state with an enrollment of approximately 4,300 students. So right there, that tells me it's probably overcrowded. And they say it's become a battleground where violence, substance abuse, and indiscipline are the rule. Now, the situation has deteriorated to such a point that committee members have made an unprecedented request for the National Guard's intervention to restore order. Now, I don't know if this means anything, but when you look into the background of the city of Brockton, their population in the 2020 census was 105,643. And it's one of two county seats of Plymouth County in Massachusetts. It's the sixth largest city in Massachusetts and sometimes referred to as the City of Champions because Rocky Marciano and Marvin Hagler went to Brockton High School. And it's an old town. I think it was first chartered back in, 1700? Well, it was settled in 1700. It was incorporated in 1821. So, yeah, it's an old town. And I don't know if this plays a role at all in the problem they're having at Brockton High School, but I mean, the word turmoil certainly fits, not an isolated incident, but a symptom of a broader societal malaise because they've been having riots there. And they've had fights breaking out in classrooms and stairwells, students engaging in illicit activities. You know, drug use, sex in empty classrooms, and just a general atmosphere of lawlessness that's become the norm rather than the exception. And this environment not only disrupts the educational process, but poses significant safety risks to everyone, students and faculty alike. I think of that movie with Glenn Ford, Blackboard Jungle, remember that? Wow. That was in 1955. Anyhow, the distress signal that was sent out by the school's committee members to the authorities is certainly a sign of desperate conditions. They sent out a letter vividly describing the chaos, and they highlighted an alarming increase in violence, security concerns, and substance abuse, and the fact that an astonishing 35 teachers were absent on a single day due to these issues. They weren't sick. They were staying out because they just don't feel safe. So this response to this plea for help has been mixed, with some opposing the idea of involving the National Guard. Critics, of course, argue that military intervention is not the solution to what's fundamentally a societal educational problem. But proponents of the measure, including committee members, let's name them, Joyce Asak, Tony Rodriguez, Claudio Gomez, and Anna Oliver, argue that immediate action is necessary to prevent a potential tragedy. And I would have a tendency to agree with them, because these are people who are familiar with what's going on behind the walls of that school. So this raises some pretty important questions about the state of our education system in general, and the measures that we're willing to take to ensure the safety and well-being of our students and educators. I mean, you've got to lump them in together, the safety of the students and educators. And when you look at the typical school, the educators, they're outnumbered by students by what kind of a ratio do you think? 35 to 1? Maybe. So it's pretty clear that traditional disciplinary methods and administrative measures, assuming that traditional disciplinary measures were even used in the first place, has pretty much failed to stem the tide of unruliness sweeping through Brockton High School or any other high school that's suffering from these kinds of problems. You know, usually in towns the size of Brockton, you have only one public high school. You might have a parochial high school. It could be a Catholic school, Lutheran school, maybe a charter school. But usually in towns that size, you have only one public high school. And where I went to high school, we had only one in a town about 50,000 people. And my sophomore year, we had 4,300 students in that school on any given day. And it got so crowded, we were going to school half days. The freshmen and sophomores were going to school in the afternoon, juniors and seniors in the mornings. So anyhow, the problem they're facing up there, of course, is opposition to the National Guard's involvement by figures like the Brockton mayor, a guy by the name of Robert Sullivan. And he's advocating for giving administrators more tools to maintain order. Like what? A sidearm? And this highlights the complexity of the issue. So while amending state rules and regulations may be part of the solution, the immediate concern, the what do we do about it right now, today, situation for the safety of students and staff, can't be ignored. They've got to do something. So, as I speak, the debate up there is raging on. And as it does, we got to remember that at the heart of this issue, the heart of this crisis, are the young lives being shaped right now by the environment around them. The chaos, violence, drug use, all that stuff that have become commonplace at Brockton High School not only hinder academic achievement, but also have lasting impacts on students' mental and emotional well-being. And you ask, well, how did this situation get this bad? Obviously, traditional discipline hasn't been exercised. You know, you can't just put somebody in a corner or send them down to the principal's office anymore. I mean, when I went to school, believe it or not, I'm old enough to remember that corporal punishment was in use in the public schools. I got the coach's paddle in gym class one day. So the call for National Guard help is a stark reminder of the challenges facing the entire educational system right now. We live in a very lawless society. We're run by a country whose government is corrupt up to their nose holes. You think kids don't see this? Of course they do. So this push for National Guard help up there in Brockton, Massachusetts, is certainly a call to action for all stakeholders. Parents, city council, school faculty, school board, to get on the same page and address the root cause of this problem. And addressing the root cause might start by reminding the students who's the boss. In a very interesting exchange on CNN, Kevin O'Leary, you know him from Shark Tank, he's also a very successful and wealthy investor. He ended up passionately defending the real estate industry in the wake of Donald Trump's verdict, that idiot kangaroo court verdict up there in New York State. Now, the discussion that you're about to hear ignited with CNN's Laura Coates posing a question on the implications of fraud and its impact on business confidence. And immediately, Kevin O'Leary took control and schooled her.
Wouldn't there be many companies who would not want to do business or loan money to people like yourself or investors if they know that they can get away with fraud and there's no recourse to protect them?
Excuse me, what fraud? This is not about Trump anymore. When you get a developer that builds a building and he says it's worth $400 million and he wants to borrow $200 million from a bank, which happens every day, everywhere on earth, including every American city, every developer is an entrepreneur. They shine the light on their building and they say it's worth $400. The bank does its own due diligence, as was done in this case, because they're very good at it. The banks are very good. And they say, no, it's worth $300. We're only going to loan you $150 million. That haggling has gone on for decades. That's how it works. And then in this case, even, the bank that was supposedly defrauded testified and said, we didn't lose anything. We want to do business with this guy again. We'd like to. But the judge said, no. Let's penalize this developer for $355 million. And we're going to do that. Let's penalize all the developers all across America. They've all done the same thing. All of them should go to jail and we should stop building buildings. That's what the message is from New York. Even the governor herself is concerned about what this looks like to investors all around the world. It's not just U.S. domestic. Around the world, people are talking about what happened here. You really think people want to invest money in New York after this? How about we go somewhere else?
I don't want to cut you off, but I want to converse with you instead.
You just did.
It's only because I want to have a conversation, Kevin, as opposed to just having you tell me.
I respect you because you're a lawyer. You understand exactly what I'm talking about.
I got to tell you, I'm respectable for a number of reasons, Kevin O'Leary, but being a lawyer is one of those issues. But I'll tell you, when I hear your conversation, and I do want to converse with you about this point, I understand that there are legitimate concerns that were raised during the trial and will continue to be raised about who the quote-unquote, who is actually bringing the suit. It wasn't the banks who were saying that we as consumers or unsophisticated feel this way, but Letitia James, the Attorney General, and I know you want to expand beyond Trump, has suggested, well, it's about making the playing field level for those who are not the major and billionaire investors, but for those who are supposed to put business records out there, want to get a loan. The idea of making sure that they have to have the same true statements included as those who have a lot more money. Is there any weight to that for you?
Well, I asked you who lost money, and I make it even clearer. You and I, we're developing a data center together, and I say to you, we can go to New York where this just happened. It's your money now. You're now an investor and you're taking risk. You're an entrepreneur with me, right beside me. We're together on the deal. Or I can show you Oklahoma, North Dakota, West Virginia, where the governors actually ran businesses. Let's go there, where this never happened before. They have power. They have permits. They've got legislation that's supportive of entrepreneurship. Why would we go to New York? Why take the risk? My only point is, did we just diminish the great state of New York and the great people of New York? And shouldn't they ask for better management so they don't become a flyover state? Remember, New York has the highest taxes in the country, the worst regulatory environment, and it's incredibly mismanaged. And I'm pointing out now, on top of that, you get this insanity, a victimless crime. And forget about Trump. It's not about Trump. I don't care about Trump in this. I care about America, and I care about entrepreneurship, and I care about democracy and the fairness. The judicial system is now being criticized. People are asking themselves, the Bar of New York, is this judge rational to charge $355 million in a case where no one lost any money? Is that good for the people of New York? Should the people of New York wake up to this and say, what's happening to us? Why is this becoming so perverse? Why are we the focus of this injustice? And I have nothing to do with Trump. I'm not supporting Trump. I'm supporting American entrepreneurship. And New York is slowly becoming the number one loser state in America. I'm sorry. That's what's happening.
Now, back on Monday, O'Leary officially announced that he was boycotting New York City over the Trump ruling. He told Fox News, he says, I'm shocked. There's no rationale for it. I can't even understand or fathom the decision at all. Well, I can, because everything they do in New York State is politically motivated. It's all about politics. Nothing else. It's all about politics. So he extended his criticism toward the state of New York, branding it a loser state, alongside California, due to unfavorable policies, high taxes, uncompetitive regulation. You heard it there in his explanation. And, of course, last Friday, that was the day that started all of this. This guy, Judge Engoron, which rhymes with moron. I've mentioned that before. I'll probably continue to do that. I mean, if you see the video on this judge, I mean, the guy looks like he's totally unhinged. But he ruled that Trump must pay over $350 million, and they barred him from conducting any business in New York State for those 3 years. I'm sure that Donald Trump isn't going to lose any sleep over not doing business in New York. This is a big country. There are a lot of places to do business. And meanwhile, Attorney General in New York, Letitia James, accused Trump and his company of inflating asset values on financial statements. But that's been debunked already. Not in court, but it will be on appeal. Because you can bet Donald Trump is going to appeal this. The other day, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders was on Jesse Waters' program on the Fox News Channel, and she kind of ran down a laundry list of the things that are wrong with the Biden administration and President Biden's policies.
Governor, why is it so hard to deport people who don't belong here, who kick cops and drive drunks and steal my grandma's Social Security number?
Because we have a president who absolutely doesn't care that millions and millions of people are coming across our border illegally. He has the power to shut the border down, to stop it. He can reinstate the Remain in Mexico policy. He could actually build the wall. There are a lot of things that he could be doing. And this simply is a complete and total failure by this administration. In the state of Arkansas alone, we seized enough fentanyl in the last year to kill every single person in our entire state. That's nearly 3 million people, every man, woman, and child. Enough fentanyl just in this state alone. It is an absolute disgrace what this president is doing, and it's another great example while in November he has to go and Donald Trump has to be put back in place so we can secure our border and get our country back.
Do you think Joe Biden loves this country?
If he did, he certainly wouldn't be trying to destroy it second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, but that's exactly what he's doing. He's allowed our economy to drop. He's allowed our border to completely collapse. Our enemies certainly don't fear us. Our allies don't respect us. Literally every single thing he does is at the destruction and demise of the people in this country. And I think it is, frankly, totally disgraceful and disqualifying for him to be president of the United States if he cannot do the simple job of securing our border, either at the south or the north.
And while all of this is true, and we all know it, our own governor here in Texas, Greg Abbott, continues to defy the White House and federal courts regarding our efforts here to combat illegal immigration after years of dealing with millions of migrants following Biden's repeal of Donald Trump's, I would have to say, very effective border security policies. They weren't infallible, but they were certainly a far cry better than what we've got right now. Plus, Governor Abbott announced the construction of a forward operating base near the border here in Texas to bolster the National Guard's efforts to secure the border in the face of perceived, and that's an important word there, perceived federal apathy toward the unprecedented surge in these illegal crossings. Now, is there really federal apathy? It would be interesting if one of the pollsters would go through the federal government, talk to federal employees, and see how they feel about this. But that's just one of the many things the media never does. But anyhow, Governor Abbott unveiled the establishment of the Forward Operating Base, or FOB, during a press conference held right there in Eagle Pass. And the base is going to occupy 80 acres of land near Eagle Pass and have the capacity to accommodate up to 1,800 troops in individual rooms. We're talking barracks. We're talking military base. And additionally, it's going to be capable of hosting an extra 500 troops in the case of special deployments. See, Texas is expanding border security capabilities by building this military base. They call it the Texas Military Department Base Camp. And the governor says that Texas wouldn't be able to respond to President Biden's border crisis without the brave men and women of the Texas National Guard, and it's essential to build this base camp for them. Well, yeah, they got to have shelter. They've got to have a place where they can have their meals. They got to build a mess hall, that sort of thing. Because the federal government is not doing its job. And last week, federal appeals court judges appointed by Republican presidents actually dealt a legal blow to Governor Abbott regarding his actions, or let's call it the state of Texas actions, along the border. And Abbott has been actively involved in legal disputes against the Biden administration, and mostly regarding his jurisdiction to implement border security measures along the southern border, particularly against a surge in migrant arrivals in recent months, and a good many of them again. The dominating similarity that we're seeing along the southern border is most of the people breaking into the country are young men of military age. For instance, U.S. Customs and Border Protection data showed that there were over 2.4 million encounters at the U.S.-Mexico border during the 2023 fiscal year, which is a huge increase from approximately 1.7 million encounters in 2021. And you can draw any conclusion you want on that. But meanwhile, Abbott's administration's been arguing the illegal crossing of migrants along our border here in Texas constitutes an invasion of the state. And he invoked the Texas constitutional authority to defend and protect itself against invasion. Big state and local elections going on here in Texas over the next couple of weeks. And Donald Trump has endorsed four Republican candidates here, seeking to unseat GOP lawmakers who voted for the impeachment of our Attorney General Ken Paxton. That went down last year. You recall how that turned out. And of course, Paxton is still our Attorney General. But Trump said on Truth Social that candidates Liz Case, Mike Olcott, Kevin Kerwin, and Alan Schoolcraft are going to have his complete and total endorsement in the March 5th GOP primary. And he believes that the four candidates are going to champion school choice, lower taxes, defend the Second Amendment, advocate for border security, and fight back against the woke mob destroying our country. I couldn't have put that better myself. But, yeah, this is kind of interesting. In fact, Trump posted that just yesterday on Truth Social. That man gets up early in the morning, you know that? Anyhow, Trump, of course, is the front runner to the GOP's 2024 presidential race. And he labeled those who voted to impeach Ken Paxton as rhinos, which is true. Now, Ms. Case is running against Representative Stan Lambert in the Texas House District 71. Mr. Olcott, who's challenging Glenn Rogers in the Texas House District 60, said that he was floored to have the support of Trump. Olcott said on X, he says, President Donald Trump has endorsed our campaign. Let's go win this. Ms. Kerwin, a challenger to Dewayne Burns in the Texas State House District 58, also expressed her thanks to President Trump for his, what she called, powerful endorsement. Oh, yeah, look at his track record with endorsements. I think he's only lost two races in all the time that he's been endorsing candidates around the country. She wrote on X, thank you for your trust. I'm inspired by you every day and promise never to let you down. I'm ready to stand with Texas and save America. I love that. And then describing Ms. Kerwin as an America First conservative, Trump said that her daughter had served as a senior staff member in the White House for 3 years during his previous administration. That's certainly a feather in her cap, don't you think? I think Ms. Kerwin benefited very nicely by that. Anyhow, the former president also endorsed Mr. Schoolcraft. I don't want to say former president. He's still my president. So anyhow, President Trump endorsed Mr. Schoolcraft, a challenger to John Kumpfel in Texas State House District 44, saying he believes that the candidate would help to defend Texas values. Well, you know, Texas values, when you really look at it, Texas values are American values. So these four candidates also got strong support from Governor Greg Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and Ken Paxton, all according to posts that were on the Truth Social platform. I'm proud to report that here in Texas, we are still a red state. Now, a lot of our big cities are blue, but that's, you know, that's the natural flow of things politically. However, I love what happened up in Dallas. They have a black mayor in Dallas, and when he was elected mayor, he was a Democrat. He has since joined the Republican Party. Let's move on over to the Comedy Corner and the first appearance of Steve Mazan.
They don't have the death penalty. That's why I brought it up. They don't have the death penalty in Canada. Here we decide state by state death penalty or not. And I mean, listen, wherever you decide, wherever side of the death penalty, that's the here and there. We're going to solve that ever. People are on a different side. We're still in this day and age killing people with the electric chair. We're still doing that. Whatever you feel about it, I think we can all agree that's a little barbaric that we're killing people with an electric chair. This is the 21st century. Right? I mean, come on. We need to update. It's time. Solar. We need to go solar now. Solar chair from this point on, right? We have the technology. Let's do it. I know what you're saying. I mean, what? No more midnight executions? No. High noon. High noon. It's high in the sky. We get the most power. Hey, Bob, it's not going to happen today. Did I get pardoned? No, it's cloudy. It's cloudy, but we checked the five-day forecast. Friday looks good. Friday looks good. Come back to me. I want to thank you, like I said, for coming out. You could have stayed home and watched TV tonight. I appreciate you being here instead. Have you noticed? I can't watch TV anymore. Here's the reason why. Ryan Seacrest is on every single channel. Is anyone else sick of Ryan Seacrest? Is it just me? He was at the Olympics last year. Why was Ryan Seacrest at the Olympics? He has too many jobs. That's my problem with him. That's why he used to just do American Idol. Now he's got like 150 things. That's why unemployment is so high in the United States of America. Ryan Seacrest has everyone's job right now. I'm mad at him because he took the job of my favorite person in the history of the world. How many people remember this guy, Casey Kasem? Do you remember Casey Kasem? How many people remember? About half of you? Okay. It doesn't matter if you guys are the young people. I'll explain who he is so you know. Ryan Seacrest now does the American Top 40. When I was a kid, Casey Kasem used to do it. Every week he'd read the Top 40 countdown, all the music, right? But he'd do this thing that Ryan Seacrest does not do. In the middle of the countdown, Casey Kasem would always do this thing called the long distance dedication. And it was fantastic. Someone would write a letter, this is before email, write a letter, handwritten, telling a sad story and wish that he'd play a song for someone in hopes that that person was also listening. It was never gonna happen, everyone was listening, right? But it was the saddest story you ever heard. It was always like, now it's time for our long distance dedication. Bob from Salt Lake City writes, dear Casey. Casey, my grandpa was my hero. He was an American hero as well. He fought in Korea and lost his leg there. But he wasn't bitter about it. In fact, he had an excellent sense of humor. I'd go to his house on the weekends, and he'd take off his prosthetic leg and let me hide it about the house. He'd hop around for hours trying to find it. the fun we had. After dinner, we'd go into the backyard and he'd hit me wiffle balls with it till the sun went down. Casey, last year he died, but he's still my hero. Casey, could you please play Kenny Loggins' Footloose?
Make it a terrific Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
Tomorrow, G-Man.